Hello, Matt. This is Nancy.
This is Nancy. Hello,
Nancy.
Nancy! How are you?
Hello, Matt.
How are you, Nancy?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Oh, that's good. You sound very excited for, what, 9:30 in the morning, is it, over there?
Yeah, that's right.
How long have you been up for?
Well, to be honest, I'm shameless. It's like I get up really, really early, then I go work out in the neighborhood, I go run.
So you've been up for quite a while now?
Yeah, I have been, actually.
Oh, that's...
I work out, got my kids off to school, had a chat with a friend, and waiting for your call.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And I've been sitting here anxious going, is it
8:30
yet? Is it 8:30 yet? Or... But it is 8:30, so we can talk to you. If you passed Nancy Cartwright in the street, you wouldn't recognize her. If you heard her speak, it could mean nothing to you. However, if she puts on a little silly voice, you will realise that you are standing in front of a legend. She is part of the longest-running sitcom of all time, one of the funniest animated programmes ever. Nancy Cartwright is, of course, the famous voice of Bart Simpson. It's a pleasure to have you here today, Nancy. I have to say, I'm very honoured that you've taken time out to speak to me today.
Well, my pleasure, Matt. Glad to be here.
The Simpsons started 17 years ago, and 14 years ago they got their own series. Do you still get excited with every recording that you make, or has it become a bit mundane now?
Oh, no, I absolutely still love it. I think everybody does. And I think, you know, when you look at that, you look at the quality of the writing on the show with these arguably the best writers on the planet, you just figure, gee whiz, The Simpsons could actually go on forever. It still remains the best show.
Right.
It's
amazing.
It still entertains everyone. And the room is very, very crowded. It only holds up to about 100 people, but there's always people wanting to come, but we can't really hold everybody.
Do you do the script reading one day and then you record the next? Is that how it works?
Well, not quite, but we'll go in on a Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, and it only takes about an hour to do the read, and then that's it for the actors. But the writers, of course, they go back and do a rewrite, clean up what didn't work and keep whatever worked, and then on Monday, we're called back in to actually do the record.
To start right from the very beginning, you originally auditioned for the character of Lisa, didn't you? Now, why didn't you get that?
Well, I was brought in for Lisa, but as I sat in the waiting room, I read the character description and the audition piece, and I wasn't particularly inspired by it. This is before the half hour. This was for the bumpers on the Tracy Ullman show. She wasn't really fully developed. She was just the middle child and misunderstood.
Okay, and did you ask to audition for Bart, or did they suggest it to you?
Oh, no, I totally wanted to do that because I saw the audition piece there for Bart. And I was like, whoa, because it was said devious, underachiever, troublemaker, and it just like...
There's more to it, a more meaty character.
That rings true to the heart of any actor. It's like something I can sink my teeth into. I'm like, whoa, yeah, that's what I want to do.
Was there one voice straight away that you thought this is it, or did you come up with many ideas for a different sound of Bart Simpson?
Well, typically I will give them two or three different options because you don't know somebody's idea of what a 10-year-old boy might not be the same as your idea of what that is. So you want to give them options and show them also that you're not stuck with just doing one thing, that you're actually, you know, you can take direction and you can give a different viewpoint and all that. But with Bart, it was real interesting. I just had the whole concept of him. It just came to me. And it was that one voice, and I said to Matt Groening, you know, do you mind, can I just do him? I just really like this kid. And he's like, yeah, no problem. And I went, blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, my God, that's him, that's him. And I was hired on the spot for Bart.
Does the future of The Simpsons rely on the voice actors? I mean, so if you were to quit, you know, would the show fall apart and finish, or do you think they would get someone else in to do the voice?
Absolutely no. The show, I mean... Nobody can be replaced. Nobody can do what it is that we do. You can get sound-alikes, but nobody can inject the life into the characters that Harry, Hank, Dan, Yardley, Julie do.
Knowing, you know, saying that it does rely on the actors, does this mean that you're going to, knowing that you're in a monopoly, because I read a couple of years ago, you went on strike for a pay rise, got paid $50,000 a show, which is probably more now. Does that purely say that you're in it for the money, or are you there for the love and the fun of providing entertainment for others?
You know, Matt, this is kind of crossing over into an area that actually, you know, have representatives. It gets a little bit, like, when you consider that Fox and its entities have earned $3 billion over the last 15 years, you go, yeah, I didn't even think there's a lot there for everybody to earn.
You yourself, as Nancy, you know, what do you prefer? Do you do this for the money, or do you do it for the love and fun of entertaining?
Well, look, I started this when I was 16 years old. I knew what I wanted to do when I was 16. It had nothing to do with money. It had everything to do with my passion and my goals and purposes. You know, I would go out for competition, and the judges would write on my critique sheets, you have an interesting voice, you should do cartoons. But this was in Dayton, Ohio.
So as if it was destined to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just like pursued this as a dream, as a goal. So when you look at my history. It's like this kid knew what she wanted to do when she was very young,
okay,
and started to pursue and take chances and pursue opportunities that would continue to open up doors for me in order to make my dream come true. In 1981, which was 6.5 years or so before The Simpsons premiered on the Tracy Ullman Show, that I was working at the Theater Arts Library at UCLA, and I was friends with this young guy who was majoring in film in the animation department. He and I shook hands, and we made an agreement that one day we would work on the most popular animated show on television. And then 6 years later, as I'm sitting at a studio about to go in to record the voice of Bart Simpson on a Butterfingers commercial, and who do I see at the end of the table doing all this artwork but this guy? I was like, oh my God, and I went up to him and I said, David. He goes, oh my God, I can't believe. I said, are you the animation director on this? He said, yes, I am. And I went, oh my God. You see, so it's like, next thing you know, David is one of the directors of animation on The Simpsons. You know, these dreams that people have, you better be careful and be very specific about what you wish for, because they do come true.
Bart Simpson's voice is one of the most famous voices in the world. How much is your voice insured for?
I mean, I have personal insurance. I've got kids, I've got a house, I've got cars.
It's all under the house insurance, is it? Okay. Okay, now, knowing Bart inside out, do you get involved with any of the writing or making up the lines for the character?
Well, just in terms of ad-lib. You know, every now and then, so improvisation kind of comes in handy. And the writers and producers are certainly open to us doing that, because it is a creative process. It's very collaborative.
Cartoon-wise, obviously, you've been in the Rugrats and My Little Pony, and you also feature in TV programs such as Cheers, Fame, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Baywatch Nights, and films like Godzilla. Now, do you ever crave for a big TV or film role?
To be honest with you, not really. You know, I'm kind of doing exactly what I love to do. I enjoy this so thoroughly. I also do this lecture where I travel around. Actually, I travel around the world. I've been to Oxford University, and I've been to Trinity College in Dublin. But I travel and do a two-hour motivational speech, and it's based on my career. So it's very entertaining, and at the same time, the purpose of it is to enlighten and inspire these kids. So I give them kind of encouragement in terms of, like,
okay,
you know, you're the one that makes all the decisions. So if you're here because your mom thinks you're going to make a lot of money being a doctor, exit stage right, man, because you're never going to make it. If you're motivated by somebody else's viewpoint, you're going to be my age someday and have all these regrets.
You yourself, you've got all the fame that you would like and all the credits that you like. You don't wish that you go out in public and be recognized more? You're happy with the sort of credibility that you've got, or
well,
the acknowledgement?
It's a bit of a double-edged sword, Matt, because the characters really are the stars of the show.
And because
right?
of that, Bart, do you feel like you want to go out and go, like, damn it, I'm Bart Simpson sort of thing?
No,
you know?
No, no. It's, for example, it's like, I love the anonymity because I don't have the personal invasion
okay.
that most celebrities have. I mean, and they have to deal with a lot of personal invasion, including paparazzi. And I had a little taste of that, and it's not fun. It's a horrible invasion of privacy. But on the other hand, when I've been invited to award ceremonies, they don't know who I am there either, and that's a little bit odd to be there knowing that I'm going to be recognized as the voice of Bart Simpson, as this celebrity, but they don't have the recognition because I don't look like him at all.
As well as the popular cartoon series, you had a number one hit with Do the Bartman. Can you sing any of that for us at all? Can you sing that?
Sing Do the Bartman? Yeah, sure, man.
Okay, go on.
Yo, man, what's happening, dude? I'm the guy with the rep for being rude, terrorizing people wherever I go. It's not intentional, just keeping the flow. How's that?
That's great. I love it. You know, you've made a lot of... I've asked a lot of people to send in questions, and that was by far the most popular. Can you get her to sing Do the Bartman? Now, you've done so much for charity. I mean, as you just said, you're going around talking to children and stuff. Now,
yeah, absolutely. I love it. A couple of years ago, I got a call from the High Falls Film Festival in New York, and they give out an award every year that's based on celebrity website, and the honor goes to someone who uses his or her celebrity status in order to make the world a better place. It was such an honor to be given this award at that film festival. It was just such a great thing.
And what is the address of your website?
Oh, the web address is, it's just my name. It's nancycartwright.com. Artists are the ones that set the example to help change the planet. People do look up to celebrities, and they're interested in what they say, and, you know, what clothes they wear, where they eat, what movies they see, what books they read. They influence a lot lot of people.
And for one of those reasons, one of the charities that you work for is actually Famous Phone Friends.
Yeah.
And this is a charity that organises famous people, or in your case, characters, to phone and speak to sick children. Now, yeah. What sort of stuff do you say to the child on the other end of the phone?
Well, this is really incredible, because I'll get a phone call through this nonprofit organization that say there's some kid named Sean who lives in Maine who's in the hospital, and he's got 3-degree burns all over his body, but he's a huge Bart Simpson fan, and he wants to talk to Bart. And I usually just keep it really, really light and just talk to this kid. Hey, Sean. Hey, what's happening? Well, this is Bart. Bart Simpson. And usually he's like, whoa. Or, you know, sometimes they don't believe me, and I have to kind of convince them. Yeah, man, it's Bart, you know. So, dude, listen, I'm in Springfield, and I heard that you're a big fan of the show, and I just wanted to call and make your day. And these kids just like, wow. I find out what they like to do. So, like, what do you do, man? You like, you skateboard? You skateboard, dude? I just kind of pull him just for a short time, get him to kind of, like, pop out of that and just be with Bart and be happy.
Okay, now, if a celebrity could phone you to talk to you, you know, just like Famous Phone Friends, which celebrity would you like to talk to?
Let's see, who would I like to talk to? I'd like to meet Jack Nicholson. I think the guy's amazing. I just admire so much his career, especially what he's doing now. I'm 40-something. I'm like 4 Barts worth, you know? So I've seen a lot of change in him as an artist, and personally how he is, and I just find him fascinating. I would love to kind of shake hands with him someday.
Knowing Bart really well, okay, at what age do you think Bart Simpson loses virginity? Go on, it's a serious question. Don't laugh at it.
I can't answer that question. Oh, my God.
Come on, of what you know of Bart, you know, you've been with...
Let's just say sooner rather than later.
Okay, fair enough.
He's only 10, though, please.
Well, yes, but he's been 10 for years now, so, you know. Now, your children, Lucy and Jack, do they find it bizarre to hear their mother on TV, or can they comprehend that what they are seeing is Bart Simpson and not Mum?
They were always raised with Bart as their older brother, so to speak, even though he's 10 and they're 12 and 14. You know, they kind of are used to the fact that Mom does this, so they take it all in stride.
And we constantly see in the TV programs Homer at Bart's throat. Now, as a mother, do you condone this sort of behavior?
Yeah, do I condone choking? I'm sure, no.
Yeah, you find it funny when it's put in The Simpsons, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're such pundits of our show, which is amazing to me, because it's like if they would just watch it, they would understand it. I find people that criticize don't really watch it all the way through, because if they watched it, they would get that satire at its best is not jammed down your throat. It's done subtly, and there's a message there.
Do you think that the ex-president, George Bush, didn't know what he said when he said, you know, they should be more like the Waltons and less like the Simpsons? Do you think that he just hadn't watched an episode?
Yeah, he never saw the show. It's ridiculous. You know?
I was wondering if you could record a voicemail for my phone. Okay, all I want you to do is just purely say something like, "Ay caramba, this is Bart Simpson, and you've come to the phone of Matt Blank."
No, I can't do it.
Oh, go on, please. Please. And then all you have to say is, yeah, leave your name, number, and any prank call message after the beep, and he'll get back. Oh, go on, please.
No, it's inappropriate.
So you're not going to?
I can't, man.
So I can't have a little voicemail for my phone.
Matt, this is totally wrong.
Okay, fine. You're hoping to come to Edinburgh this year, aren't you, on a one-woman show?
Yes, I am.
And did you write this one?
Yeah, absolutely. What's
it called?
It's called My Life as a 10-Year-Old Boy, The Next Chapter.
Okay, and so you'll be coming to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival to do it, yep?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a one-hour romp through my life, being the voice of Bart Simpson and also being a single mom,
okay,
divorced. Sex.
Now, I read this on the internet, and I wanted to know if it was true or not. Apparently, you've been quoted to say, "I don't use the voice of Bart when I'm making love to my husband, but Marge's voice turns him on a little." Now, Nancy, what's all this about? Can you answer that for me?
I was laughing so hard I didn't even hear the question. I gotta go.
Oh. So you're not going to confirm if that quote's true or not?
Say it again.
Okay, I don't use the voice of Bart when I'm making love to my husband, but Marge's voice turns him on a little.
I didn't say that.
Okay, it's on the website that you did. It's a quote from Nancy Cartwright, apparently.
Well, if I said that, it was done as a joke. I mean, some reporter asked me if I use the voice of Bart making love to my husband. I thought that has got to be the most ultimate rude question.
Well, with all of this behind your back, how would you say you've contributed to the good of mankind?
Oh, I say go to my website. Go to nancycartwright.com and you'll find out.
Okay, so it's all there, is it?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for taking time out to participate with this interview, Nancy. It's very much appreciated.
Take care, man.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.